This is an ABC podcast.
Roots and Shoots on ABC Radio Perth and WA, the ABC Listen app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, you've got the relief teacher today, Christine Layton, filling in for Emma Cunningham and Sabrina Hahn. You came in early to see Philippa Nikolinski. Oh,
she is just the most remarkable woman.
She is.
And Angela, it's interesting, isn't it, with artists?
Oh, is it your microphone? Is it?
No, I don't know what's going on here. It certainly sounds weird in my head.
Oh, sorry. Hang on, flow mic. Oh, it's a
different... Ah, there we are. That's
there we go,
the
different
mic.
Layout. Sorry, everybody. I'm a bit rusty.
That's all right. That's all right. Yep. Students, I'll forgive you this time.
Thank you.
It's really interesting when you get an artist in that is exceptional, like Philippa Nikolinski, and then to have Angela that actually brings her work to people who would perhaps not even have heard of Philippa, let alone see her work. And I think artists need that. They need someone that's really good at promotion and finding new avenues to showcase the work. So Angela is integral to Philippa's work getting out there to a much broader audience.
They're hemiparasitic.
They are. Yes. And it's so rare to see that. It's just so lovely.
I met Angela by accident. We were both in a little podcast together and I was like, wow, she's so switched on and she's studying botany, and that's what I'd love to be doing with my time,
yeah,
if I could. But yeah, no, she's amazing. So the book itself is going to be really, really, really good.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
Yes. And apparently Philippa's really good at changing attire.
Oh, she is. Like, you, I mean, Philippa says she's old, but there is nothing that woman cannot do.
Yeah.
And some of the places they go camping, you know, people whinge because they don't have a flushing toilet and a running shower and whatever, whatever. Philippa goes out in bush and just immerses herself in the surroundings and becomes part of the surroundings. And I think the whole thing about, you know, and I was listening to your interview earlier on, the more complex we make our lives, the harder it gets. So when you look at someone like Philippa who goes out with just the basic stuff, the more we complicate things, the harder it is to actually go out there and immerse yourself and be where you are at the time. So simplify, just try and simplify everything. And I always say to people, if you feel really stressed and everything's the same old, year after year after year after year, build a garden.
Yeah.
Make a garden. Whether that garden is half a dozen pots on a balcony. You know, the other day I was walking out in the garden and I have literally, I reckon, hundreds of spiders in my garden.
Yes.
And because I love spiders, inside and outside, I might add.
Yes.
And then I went around with the magnifying glass and started looking at all the little tiny, very small insects that live in my garden. I never use sprays, so there is no pesticide or insecticide ever used in my garden. And it is heaving with life. I have 5 different species of lizards at least. Oh. I don't know how many different species of spiders.
Yeah.
But I go out there and I go and I say to myself, the world has come to me.
Mm.
I don't need to go further than my backyard.
Yeah.
Although it's very exciting to go further than your backyard.
Oh, but your backyard, I don't want to leave.
Like, yeah, it's heaving with life.
It's nice.
Love it.
It's really nice. You know, it's funny. The native verge that I've got.
Oh yeah,
Because
yeah,
we're on a corner block.
Yeah.
The plants are now 6 months old.
Yep.
And the compliments first came. They're like, "You're doing such a good job." And then the other day, this guy was walking his dog. He's like, "You're out here a lot, aren't you?" And I'm like, "Yeah, what's it to you, Doug? have you met my toddler?"
This is called mental health, Doug. Mental health.
I'm hiding behind my hecky Franciscana. The phones are full, which is great. Keep it coming. 1300 222 720. Tim Flicker is our producer. So I was saying, give him the curliest plant names you can.
Poor Tim.
That's terrible.
I said no one on that side of the glass has ever been able to spell the plant names, but I figure it out in the end.
That's right. Oh, and I love Philippa's joke about the citrus question.
Oh,
that was perfect. That's going to be a promo. All All right, first up, we got Steve from Mandurah. Good morning, Steve.
Hi, good morning. I've been invaded by creeping oxalis weed.
Oh, yeah.
In the lawn, in the backyard, in the garden.
Yep.
And I've carefully pulled it out and dug it out, and then a week later it's back as if it never left.
Yeah, our oxalis has a habit of doing that, Steve. Now, you can get a selective herbicide, but it depends what sort of lawn you've got.
Oh, it's just an ordinary couch.
Okay, so you could apply a broad leaf spray. I find it's not that effective on oxalis. Do you know the best?
I found that too.
Yeah. The best method is, unfortunately, is to continue to keep taking the tops off. So the leaf, even though the bulbils are still underneath, if you keep, even if you spot spray, oh, you've got too much, forget that. if you just keep cutting the top of the leaf off, eventually it starves the starch that's held in the bulbils underneath.
Ooh.
And that's what I've done with mine. It took me 5 years, but I finally...
How do you feel hearing that, Steve?
How are your knees, Steve? How are your knees?
Oh, bad, very bad.
Either that or you just go, well, it's green. But it's really difficult to get hard to try and control, and because it's so flat to the ground, you know, you do your false fingernails in if you try and pull them out that way.
Yeah. Good luck, Steve.
No good using gloves because that just can't.
Do you know what you should get? If your knees are as bad as mine, there's this weed machine that you push down. It's like a...
Clint Wielden lent it to me.
Yeah, yes. It's awesome. You push it down with your foot and it's got like a clamp, like those claws in the children's playthings where they pick up a toy. Yeah.
Except it works.
It works, and it goes deep down into the base of the weed and just pulls it out. Now, you'd probably need to do that action about 150 times a day. So,
well, I mean, that would be in an hour. I'd have to do it 150 times.
You know what? It'll set you back $40, so you'll want to do it 150 times get money's worth.
I think for $40, that's pretty good considering what it does.
Well, want a tractor. It's a bit different.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I want a tractor.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. Yeah. Well, good luck, Steve. May the force be with you. 1300-222-720. Norma is in Rockingham. What's happening in your garden, Norma?
Hello, Sabrina. Last week... you spoke to a caller, but it was early and I was still half asleep.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, that's good, Norma.
I'm wide awake, not pen and paper.
Excellent.
You see that there was something you could use to control weeds, and I think the ingredient was a flower.
Ah, pelargonic acid. Yes.
Oh, my good Lord.
Okay, so there's two... I used to be able to give the name of the product because it was the only one, but now there's three of them. If you stay online, then the lovely Tim will tell you what it is, and you can go and purchase that. So it's made of the oil of geraniums.
That's what I thought it was,
That's right. Yeah, yeah. So
it'll help me immensely. At 81, I'm sick of weeding.
I'm with you, Norma. I'm only 70 and I'm sick of weeding as well.
But see, roses are beautiful, but they're a lot of work with the deheading and everything else.
I don't
want to be weeding. I just want to enjoy the roses.
That's the way,
I'll
Norma. Okay.
They should know how to look after themselves by now. Let's be real.
I mean, they've been around for thousands of years.
I know. 1300-222-720. You know what I was thinking? If somebody makes a drone that can pull out weeds and not your good plants.
Yep. Spot spray. Well, they have all the agricultural equipment now. Wow. They have all of that. They spot spray the weed so that it saves on chemical for a start, but and it does it with photo recognition of the plant. Mm. It's pretty. See, this is why people love tractors because the tractors these days, Steens, are unbelievable.
Yeah, they are pimped out.
Cedars, headers. Oh, I love all that stuff.
They do it all.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Sarah. Is it Sarah and Bertram or Sarah?
Sarah. Hi.
Sarah,
hey,
very good.
Hello, Sarah. I think Sarah's rung us before.
I've sent messages in.
Ah, there you go.
Maybe. I've been trying to get a look at this plant.
Yeah.
The hibiscus.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah.
Yep, she's a big'un.
Yeah. So I've had it 10 or 15 years, but it got split in the Sunday storm a few weeks ago.
Right. Well, the good thing for you, Sarah, is that they are unkillable. Now, because it's excellent. Kind of a wacko shape now, mm-hmm. I would cut 40% off the top of it. Not now, okay. But can you leave it until the end of February?
Yep.
Yep. So the end of February, 40% off the top.
Okay.
Get and the old re-sip saw out, Sarah.
I will.
Yep.
It's been growing crooked like that for 10 years. I never upright.
Right.
And
well, if
nice
you...
Funky look about it.
It does have sort of almost like a Japanese-y look, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And you could...
Yeah.
I mean, you could keep that if you wanted to, but what will happen is that upper part that's sort of growing at an angle, if you get another storm, it's just going to rip it off.
Yeah. And well, because the split is down to the ground, is that going to compromise it now?
Well, as I said before, they are unkillable, so probably not. But the more weight you take off the top, the better.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll do that. And have I got the right name of that?
Yes, it is a native hibiscus. Yep. It was hibiscus tiliaceus, and now they've changed its name to something else that I can't remember. But anyway, everyone knows it.
Priscilla.
No, it doesn't. No.
All right, fair enough. That's all I've got. Thanks, Sarah. Good luck.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks, Sarah.
See ya.
On the text line, the most magnificent photo, which is really quite distracting.
A grass tree
with a
big kahuna seed.
It's a
flower spike.
Yep.
It's a flower spike of it. Yeah.
Thank you. That's what it is.
Yeah. So
it's very long.
Beautiful grass tree has outdone itself, outperformed, really. It's looking very upright and proud.
Yeah.
So it's a doozy.
What do you do with that?
Well, now,
so long?
If anyone has their grass tree flowering, leave it to seed, because the amount of native birds that come to eat the seed from the flower spike is incredible. And there's a guy that lives near me, and he takes videos every year because he's got this 5-headed grass tree, and it seems to flower every 2 years. Yeah. And all the birds that come in to eat the seed.
What does it look like when it seeds? Does it just go brown?
The flower, it goes brown, and you get those little sort of husky, tight little valved seeds on them.
Yes, yes.
And then you see some of the flower spikes get so heavy with birds, it kind of breaks it off. But
so leave the erection where it is for
now. Absolutely. Okay. Lovely erection in the morning, that one.
Very good. 1300 222 720 to Julie in Albany. What have you got to show us?
Oh, good morning. And Christine, I've missed you a lot.
Julie, it's so nice to hear your voice. And and whenever they ask me to fill in, I'm like,
yes,
so tired and completely brain damaged, but I'm here. So, yes, tell me, what can Sabby fix for you?
Well, first of all, I hate Pitostrum, but I have a row of 8 against my back fence because it actually does the job. I can cut it to a length and it screens all the neighbours.
Yep.
Now, 3 of them are now dying from the top down.
Yep.
And I've given it a good dose of wetter soil and some sea sol and things like that.
Yeah.
But it hasn't made any difference, and I really can't water too much.
No.
So is there any? Do you know what it is, and is there anything I can do?
Now, unfortunately, Pitosporums have not enjoyed a warming climate, and even Albany is getting warmer and less rainfall.
Yes.
So they're dropping like flies all around Perth, but I don't think flies actually drop. I don't know where that saying comes from.
They do into my windowsill.
Oh, they
or the marsh flies when you hit them. Yeah.
So I don't think that people have tried everything to save them and they just keep on dying. Now, how tall, let's suppose they all die. How tall do you want the hedge?
Well, at the moment, they're about 2.5 metres and I just keep it trimmed twice a year.
Okay.
And that shields out the house and the back and things like that.
So there's a really lovely native shrub called Dodonia, Mr. Green Sheen.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you can get the dark leaf one and you can get the bright shiny leaf one.
Right.
That does really well. There's a really lovely Adenanthus called Lighthouse.
Yes.
It's a much better performer than the Albany one, the woolly bush that just gets...
Is that the Cunningham eye?
Cunninghammy eye, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. After Amber, yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes. I remember. I took the tag too. Yes.
And then you've got... so if you want something a little bit bigger, you've got the Melaleuca Narrow Nessie, which is more of an upright form of the Melaleuca.
Yes.
So that will work really well down there.
Yes.
They're probably – you've got things like the mental blank – it'll come to me. There's a copper form out called Copper Tops.
Oh.
I have a whole hedge of them around my house near the veggie garden.
Yeah.
Viburnum Envy Copper Tops.
Hey.
Oh, okay.
So that's got a lovely dark hue to it and that will also do really well.
Right.
So threaten them with death and pulling them out and see if they lift their game.
Out of all those, Dodonia
God, that's
are
be
the
a big job.
Yeah. But even if you put Dodonia in between the dying Protosporums and you start that way.
It's all joined up now. It's all joined up.
It's all joined up. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. In terms of doing something, once they start going off, it's very difficult. Then they get mealybug or cottony cushion scale.
Yeah.
And then that's it, really.
Oh, that's not what I wanted to hear.
Sorry, Julie.
Julie, I know. Hard truths to start 2026. It's really just a continuation of last year, isn't it? Good luck. And
Thank you.
Very nice to hear from you. 1300 222 720. Yeah. It is going to be a better year,
It's a tough thing for plants. And sometimes the big problem, we put a hedge in and so we plant the plants quite close because we want that screening effect.
Mm.
But after a few years, the root competition is too much. So I've got the Viburnum Ambi hedge around my veggie garden and it's been there for 20 years. And now one by one they're dying off.
Oh, no.
And so I don't muck around because I know once they start dying, there's nothing I can do.
Yep.
So I just go out with the recip saw and go, well, you're gone now.
Yeah.
And plant a new one.
Got me some new real estate. What am I going to pick next? It's exciting when you've got a
Actually, where that gap is, spot. When people have stuff that dies, look at that space from a different point of view because where the one viburnum died, there's a shaft of sunlight that comes through that hedge now. It looks like a missing tooth in a mouth. But the tomatoes have just gone bazonkers because now they get so much more light. So there's wins and losses everywhere.
Very cool. Mm. All right, Mark, you are in Narracup. How are you going?
Good, thank you. Yes. Hello, Sabrina.
Hello, Mark.
My dear beloved pruned the roses earlier on in the year.
Yeah.
And some of them have sort of gone absolutely cactus.
Oh, no.
Some have got still got a slight green tinge to the branches.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering whether they're all had the bomb.
No.
Or whether we just...
No.
Are you still married?
We have this club for, it's called For Men Who Prune Too Hard. It's usually the men. It's not the women, Mark. So
very progressive.
Yeah, absolutely. It's sort of equality plus in your household.
Yeah.
Now, if you can see green when you scratch the bark, the cambium layer is still intact. It's still pushing up water and nutrients, so there is always hope. So What I would do is to get a good seaweed solution, soak the ground, get a wetting agent, water that in, and then put some cow poo around the roses.
Or you can get your missus to do
Maybe that's what she should do.
Is she in the car right now?
Well, we're going to bring the cows in and peg test them soon. So,
perfect. You don't let them near the roses, though, because cows actually will eat anything. But honestly, Mark, they should actually come back.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, no worries.
Good luck, good luck. My, I asked my husband to trim back our Grevillea Superb the kids could get their wading pool in.
Yeah.
And it was early days
yep.
and he didn't clean the secateurs and neither did I at that point, and it is covered in a fungus. But he did it in such a bad way. It looks terrible and it's covered in disease, but it's the only thing flowering consistently, so it's there.
That's all right. That's okay.
But it just, it's, I have not forgiven him yet. I love him. I haven't, but he's let me do everything else to the garden, so I really should get over it. I should. 1300 222 720. Gloria, you're in Scarborough. Very nice. What's your question for Sabby?
Hello, ladies.
Hello.
I have a grass. It's called a Dietes urodoites.
Yep.
Yep. Called White Tiger.
Yep.
And it's got a lot of dead grass in it.
Yeah.
And it's getting quite tall, about nearly a metre high.
Yeah.
Can I cut that back?
My oath you can, Gloria. And in fact, you can cut that back nice and hard.
Right.
So you can cut that down to 10 centimetres high.
10 centimetres.
Or
okay,
low, I should say. 10 centimetres low. So that's a Dietes. It's a South African grass. And pretty unkillable. It has really good, strong root system. And you actually need to do that with Dietes every now and again, because you do get all those dead bits in the middle. So,
right.
Yep. Okay. So you can go ahead and you can chop, chop, chop.
So I wouldn't do it now, would I?
No, if you can wait till the end of summer, that's best, Gloria.
Yes. Okay. Yep. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, Gloria.
Thank you. Now, many calls, 1300 222 720, but also many texts. And I don't mean to ignore you all. There've just been so many calls. I have to say as well, when I said that Angela and Philippa Nikolinski are hemiparasitic, that's the only word I knew.
Yep.
And somebody on the text line said their relationship is symbiotic. Not parasitic. That's not what I meant.
That's true, actually. Well, I don't know. Parasites do play a role in the beginning until they eat the vital organs of the insect that they're in.
See, this is what I miss about the ABC audience. They keep you on your toes and you can't get away with anything.
I know. When I forget stuff, which I tend to do lately, they remind me what the answer is. I love it. It's great.
I realise going on maternity leave for the second time, I'd learnt so much.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. We have the best audience of any radio station in Australia.
Yeah, just sucking up to you now.
But it's true.
Straight up. It is true. I genuinely mean it. Gabrielle from Margaret River, would you like to respond on behalf of the ABC audience to those compliments?
Oh, thank you very much. A huge compliment from all of us.
Excellent.
We're in your
excellent.
Debt.
What can we do for you?
I have suckers coming out of the base of my olive tree, which is about 10 years old.
Yeah.
And a fig tree, which is about 3 years old.
Yep.
And I just keep cutting them off.
Yeah.
And because I want the one big trunk on both trees.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there anything else I should be doing?
No.
Oh, okay.
So the thing is, Gabrielle, the thing is, there are some trees that are naturally prone to suckering. In an orchard, they can use a hormone spray that actually prevents that from happening, but it's not available to the home gardener. And I have a fig tree that suckers like a demon, but it is such a fantastic fig. As soon as the sucker comes up, I cut it off. Now, because they're edible plants, you don't want to use any poison on the suckers because it will actually affect the mother tree. So The only time I've ever seen it where it's controlled is when I've gone to Karratha, and people that work on the mines, they get the old conveyor belts off the and they lay the conveyor belt down on top, and that certainly prevents anything from coming up.
That's some weed matting right there.
But a little bit hard for us to get hold of. Weed matting doesn't work unless it's something as thick as a conveyor belt.
All right. When we see you at Karen Up and you're ripping up ripping up the escalator, I will look the other way, okay?
Thank you. That'll be me.
Yep.
Well, look, thank you for that.
Thanks, Gabrielle.
That's what I'll just keep on doing.
Or get to, you know, just put the word out for anyone that's got a bit of spare conveyor belt up north.
Oh, you never know on Marketplace, tell you what.
Oh, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, spend too much time there. That's what I should give up for 2026. Henry and Subiaco. All right, what is happening with your grass trees? Hello, Henry.
Hi, Amber and Sabrina. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Well, fantastic. Well, yeah, happy new year to you both.
Oh, thank you.
I agree that you have the best audience in Australia.
Champion, Henry. Well said. Well said.
You know, you can have 20 minutes for your question. Just joke on.
Brilliant. It is. It's a 40-minute question.
Okay. Fire away. Let's get started.
So, look, I'm lucky enough to have driven around the beautiful state of Western Australia recently in Perth.
Yep.
But also been to New Norcia, Augusta and Margaret River.
Yeah.
I've realised that the stalks of spears on grass trees this year are significantly longer.
Yep.
And more numerous this year. We did get quite a bit of late rain.
Yes.
So, now, Amber and Sabrina, I don't mean to put you on the spot here.
Yes.
Because I've copped a fair bit of flack from
you're
my
not putting period. Amber on the spot because she's not here, but Christine Layton is.
Are you asking why the grass trees have big dick energy? Is that where this is going? Is that what's happening?
Well, yeah, this is it. I'm being criticised. So am I correct? And if so, what might the reason be?
Yes, you are correct, Henry. The spikes on the grass trees have been exceptional this year, and I've done a fair bit of trooping around the state as well. And the reason is, so it's definitely climatic. We had rain, and it was late rain, and when we had the rain, it wasn't just a little sprinkle, it was a really heavy downpour. Now, that means that there's more pollinators. When you get good rains, you've got more insects and pollinators in the around the area. So it's kind of a whole picture thing. So it's the microbes in the soil kick off. There's nutrients that are more available, which means the flowering will either be longer, taller, bigger, stronger, etc., etc. Then you've got the more pollinators that are around, all the insects that are around. So it's all to do with the climate and the effect that those winter rains and the late, you know, we had a late
surge.
Late winter,
yeah.
And then it sort of all came in bucket loads of joy, and plants respond. And so Plants are really responsive very early, so they can adapt and adjust season by season. Humans can't do it. Plants are much smarter. And what happens with, particularly in Western Australia, in areas where they go through significant dry times, our plants make the most of when the rain comes, and we haven't had rain like that for many years, so they've gone, woohoo, let's make babies.
So now it's going to be very hard to drive home without spotting the grass trees in this state.
Yep.
Thanks, Henry.
Does that answer your question, Henry?
It does, and it gives me validation. So thank
excellent.
You.
And that's why you are one of the many wonderful best audience for radio stations in Australia, Henry.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very flattered. And thank you so much for answering the question.
No worries, Henry.
Flattered as much as the grass tree. 1300 222 720. That is really interesting. And the plants do respond so much quicker.
Plants are so – West Australian plants in particular are so responsive to the slightest changes.
Yeah.
And you know, plants do that everywhere. If you've got a plant that is attacked by chewing – animals.
Yes.
over even just 2 or 3 years, they will develop spikes on the tips of their leaves.
Wow.
So that the predators that are eating them don't find them as tasty as they used to.
The Hakea wine moth has been going so hard in my garden because it's all, you know, Buccellenta franciscana. I've got the Larina and the Scaparia. Yep. And they're big and they're fat because I send them into the My Pest Guide.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes. Yeah. And they beg me not to kill them. They're like, that's a very fat, happy, you know, and they're so lovely. And yes, anyway, so, but you're right, because they've all come back with more branches, more stalks, and they look better for it.
Yeah, absolutely. They just want to be making babies.
Yeah, and the Hakea wine moth moves on.
Yep, indeed it does. Mm. Like all moths.
Oh, another call from Albany. Hello, Maggie.
Oh, good morning, girls.
Morning, Maggie.
I would love to check with Sabrina about the pelargonic acid.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That we're going to hear about soon.
Yes.
Would that work on suckers for an apricot tree that's quite an old tree?
It will. It won't harm your apricot tree. It will make the suckers wilt and probably die back a bit, but it won't knock them off. They'll just wilt.
Okay.
It's more for, the pelargonic acid is better on smaller plants that have got a softer leaf tissue.
Right.
Mm. Well, you might just have to keep cutting the suckers off, Maggie.
Yes. Well, I did hear or read somewhere that it's best to tear them off.
Yeah, if you're strong enough. But I tell you what, there's no way I could tear the suckers off my fig tree. I think it would do me a mischief.
Tear your suckers off.
It would. Yeah. I'd be handless.
Oh, thank you, Maggie. 1300 222 720. I must take a very quick break to give you some updated bushfire advice.
ABC Radio, emergency information.
So this is the latest on the Mundaring fire, which remains a watch and act, just warning to monitor conditions. The reduced warning area is from Pine Terrace in the north, Glen Road to the east, Victor Road and Clayton Road to the south, and Approach Road to the west in parts of Boyer, Darlington and Helena Valley. So stay alert, monitor your surroundings. You can return to your home if it's safe to do so. You've probably done that already, but just drive with caution. The fire is currently stationary, but it's not contained or controlled. And the evacuation centre at Brown Park Community Centre is closed at the moment. But, of course, we'll keep an eye on it. And to recap, that is the watch and act that's current for Boyer, Darlington and Helena Valley. I was watching the fire so closely over Christmas Day and the days that followed because I was on call and I just thought, imagine, you know, those in Boddington.
Yeah,
you know, it was so scary. And Baldivis and, you know, there have been so many.
Terrible amount of fires we've had.
Yeah, for sure. So everybody stay safe. 1300 222 720. Back to my playful voice. Let's go to Tristan in Baldivis. He's next up. Hello, Tristan.
Hey, g'day.
Yeah, g'day, Tristan.
What can we do?
I've been wanting to try and grow a kwandong tree in my backyard for quite a while. I'm in Baldivis, so I don't have the best sort of sand or soil to work with, but I can make happen whatever needs to. Can I grow one from a cutting, or do I need to source a smaller tree or bush?
Very difficult to grow from a cutting. Most people grow them from the nut itself. Now, you can buy kwandong trees. There is a nursery in the southwest, and she grows them a couple of hundred, and she's managed to crack the trick of how to grow them.
Ooh.
The Kings Park plant sale quite often have kwandongs for sale. There is a native nursery up in the hills in Perth, and they have kwandongs for sale. And there's one out in the wheat belt. He grows them as well. Now, the big thing is you're going to have to try and improve the hole that you put it in the ground with a little bit of loam or some, you know, like the hills gravel. So if you go to a nursery, even if you just get a a few bags of loam and gravel, put it in with that. Remember, they're semi-parasitic, so they need something to hook onto. I would suggest the sawtooth wattle, if you can put a couple of sawtooth wattles around near them, they'll grow really well. The sawtooth wattle is a coastal one, so that'll do well in Baldivis. It's not too big. But you can definitely grow a Kwangdong. No problem at all.
That's
but
great
it's
news.
Getting hold of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I often see them paired up with she oaks.
Yes. Yeah. But you may not have room for a she oak.
No.
They're quite, she oaks are quite large.
And then are you going to make Kwangdong beer? Is that your ultimate goal, Tristan?
It has crossed my mind.
I tried some when I was working in the Great Southern. It is incredible.
Yes. Well, there you go. Okay.
Sorry to talk
probably,
about booze
probably
at
nice,
20 to 10.
Nice in a little gin too, I would suggest.
Yeah.
So the host sort of plant was a sawtooth.
Wattle. Sawtooth acacia. Wattle. Yeah, acacia. Okay. Litteria.
Cultriformis, is it? Or a litteria?
No, litteria.
That's the one. Oh, I'm looking at it. It's beautiful.
I love that wattle. So I don't know why people don't grow it more. For anyone on the coastal strip, sawtooth wattle, beautiful little plant.
I've got the clay wattle.
Oh, yeah, I've got three of them. I love those.
Oh, they're so weird.
And they don't even need clay to grow in.
Yeah, that works really well. Okay, we've got 20 minutes left. Don't be that guy or girl that phones up with 2 minutes to go.
Yep, and then ask me a 15-minute answer question like how do you graft something.
That's right. Let's go to Graham in Bruce Rock. Hey, Graham.
Hi, how are you going?
Yeah, ladies? Good, Graham.
Good, how's Bruce Rock?
Oh, very warm.
Oh, I bet it is, yep.
Yes, I think it's already 33 up here, so yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. How's your garden going?
I'm trying to keep it alive while my wife's away.
Yeah, good man.
This is where I run into a problem. We've got two apricot trees.
Yeah.
One of them has just about finished fruiting.
Yep.
It was absolutely loaded.
Wow.
It has broken off some of the branches. I'm wondering whether I can cut it back now or whether I have to wait.
Oh, I wouldn't be cutting it back now. What'll happen is the more amount of sunshine that hits the branches and the trunk, Graham, it'll cause stress to the plant. If you can just saw that branch off so it's a nice, neat cut rather than is it sort of half snapped off or it's...
It's snapping off quite a few of the branches, yeah.
Okay, well...
And half snapped off.
Okay, well, in that case then, yeah, you're going to have to prune it back. Otherwise you'll get infection into those big gaping wounds.
Because I've got approximately 10 days to do it in if I'm going
I love your work, Graham.
Yeah.
Well, I'll put it this way. My wife comes back from holidays in 10 days, and if I don't do it before then, it won't happen.
No, do it now. Go. I know it's going to be hot, but you've got no choice, Graham. So what you need to do, prune. Now, you'll have to make sure that you water them really well before your wife comes home.
It's getting very well watered.
Is it? So, okay. Yeah. All right. So prune, prune it off. Yep.
Good luck, Graham. Yep.
And it's wonderful that you're so keen to let your wife know that she can go away anytime and you've looked after the garden beautifully.
Yeah.
We've been married for 52 years. I want to stay married for a bit longer.
Well, you keep those apricots wet. Good luck, Graham.
Good to know, Graham. Good to know.
1300 222 720. Oh, it is, you know, it is also the partner's garden, isn't it?
Whether they fund definitely.
It, whether they look at it.
Yeah. What's interesting, though, because I do a lot of garden consultation.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get, like, blues. And what some people do is they divide, the front garden's yours and the back garden's mine, and then I'm there listening to this fight that starts
No, because the wife is letting the dog piss in the back garden.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or, you know, or they've gone and pruned where they shouldn't have pruned. Oh. Or they've put a plant in where it shouldn't go in. And that's quite awkward, really.
A gardening sword fight. That's great. Oh, that's the one fight we've not had, Angela. Let's go.
That's good.
Yeah. Let's go to Hazel in Albany. Hello, Hazel.
Good morning, Tim.
Hello, Hazel.
What's going on?
Hello. I have a beautiful 8-year-old bird nest fern.
Yeah.
And I've had it since it was a wee little baby thing, and I made the catastrophic mistake of trying to replant it yesterday, and the crown snapped.
Oh, no.
Can I save it?
Yes, you can, because they take a long time to develop the crown, and they don't actually need it.
Oh.
So when you see them... Well, when you see them up in the tree, they really just have that as an anchor so they don't fall out of the tree. But you see them in the forests in New South Wales, you see them where they get blown out of the trees all the time, and then they just sit on the ground and redevelop the crown. So now your big thing is, what have you repotted it into? Like, well, what sort of soil?
I got very devastated and just plonked it back on top of the new pot of soil, which was just the premium Bailey's potting mix.
Okay, too much goodness in that. You need to take it out of that, and you need to go and buy orchid mix.
Okay, do I plant it in that or just
you
on
plant
top?
It? You plant it on. You sort of push. You've got to push the centre down, and you make sure that the orchid mix just comes up a little way to the first leaves.
Okay.
Now, it's going to be really unstable, and it may take a year to bed into that. So you're going to have to put it somewhere safe, away from the wind, dogs, toddlers, who are probably worse than dogs.
yeah, I have one of those.
So it needs, you'll have to put it in shade, maybe a little bit of dappled light. Do not overwater it. So if you have the hose on the fine spray, then you're going to stand there for 2 minutes with the fine spray, and you're going to do that every third day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
but it will bed back in.
Should I take more leaves off?
Sorry?
Should I take a heap of leaves off the outside?
No, I wouldn't touch the leaves unless they're all brown and sizzled.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So you just leave what's there, and then just make sure it just sits nice and still.
Good luck, Hazel. I really want to know how you go year on.
Yeah. Ring us in a year's time. Yeah.
I will. You're a saviour. Thank you so much.
No worries.
She is, Hazel. Tell you what. This text is a really interesting one, and I would love to know the answer.
Yes.
Eve in Jandakot said, lovely to meet you last August at the Perth City Farm. Mm-hmm. Two things. When can I prune my lanky Hakea cucullata?
It's my favourite Hakea.
Me too. Is it cucullata?
Cuculata.
Cuculata. Okay.
Yep. I've never managed to keep one alive.
Oh, mine's really lanky too.
Yeah, they are. And when you see them in the wild, they are lanky.
Yeah.
So at end of summer. So March, I'd wait until mid-March. And yes, you can.
Yeah.
Now, with most Hakeas, you can't do a hard prune. If you're going to the really thick wood, it'll start dying back on that branch.
Right.
So with the cucullata, they make a beautiful – the best thing to do with all Hakeas, okay, when you get them, even if they're in tube stock, is you cut the head off like a little bit. You tip prune the top because then you get the branches coming from the side. The formative pruning for Hakeas in the first 5 years is really important. So every second year you're going to top prune it.
Yep.
But cucullata is normally a very lanky, straggly sort of a Hakea. But at the end of March, definitely no more than a third.
It looks like
cut the top off.
It looks like a pink bath loofah in a cabbage leaf.
That's
it is
so
the cutest
beautiful.
And layers of this cabbage leaf with the pink flower. I can't wait for mine to flower. It's got fuzzy little things going on.
They can take years to flower. I've got a Hakea, a really rare one that I've forgotten the name of, in the front garden. It's been there for 20 years.
Oh, 20 years.
And it's flowered for the very first time.
Congratulations.
And it's the most beautiful lemon-coloured flower, and I can't find it in any book. I don't even know where I got it from.
I wonder which one it is.
Don't know. I was given it. So now, and the other thing for people that are growing hakeas, you've got to be really careful if you've got them in a pot with potting mix, get the Australian, get the native potting mix, not any other potting mix. They need the native potting mix. Do not overwater them.
Yes.
So no more than once a week.
Tracy wants to know how to prune Banksias. That's the other thing. They've all had a big surge because of their beautiful summer weather, haven't they?
So, yeah, it's so important to now, if you want the cockatoos coming in, you do not take off the flowers because they eat the seed.
Yes.
So it takes a while for the – so I'd wait until they're finished seeding. Then you prune down, so you can probably come down about 30 centimetres below the flower it's finished seeding.
Okay, this one's a Menzies iron binning up.
Oh, Menzies iron. Well, Menzies eye you can prune quite hard, actually. But, no more than 30 centimetres down from the flower.
Can I tell you, I've got a bud, my first bud. I've got 17 species of Banksia now.
Wow.
And on my Prey Morsa, the wine-coloured one, and it's so exciting because it's so hard to none of them have flowered.
No.
And I'm waiting patiently. But
well, Prey Morsa in my garden didn't flower for 18 years, so I cut it out.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I went to you. Well, useless.
This one was tube stock, so
So was mine. 18 years, Steens. Wow. Not a single flower.
It's nice of you to keep it.
No, it's no longer.
For that long, though. You gave it a good chance.
I did.
Oh, hang on. Is that Tracy, are you on the phone right now? No, Tracy, that's all right. We got to your
Tracy's
question.
In the car,
and it's feeding back, so at least we got to answer it. That's good. Let's go to Andrea in Northam. Hello, Andrea.
Hello. My question is, you advised
Hazel?
A caller in it. It may have been Hazel, to use orchid mix.
For the bird's nest fern.
Yes.
Yep.
Should you use that for all ferns?
No, but remember that the bird's nest fern is epiphytic. It doesn't grow in soil.
Oh, yes.
That's why you.
Oh, that's right.
But for other ferns, no. Use a. What I do with ferns is I get potting mix and I mix it 50-50 with perlite.
Mm-hmm.
Potting mix and perlite because it needs to be quite an aerated type of soil blend.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, no worries.
Wonderful, 1300 222 720. It's not Hakea nodosa.
No.
No, it's not the Cineria either.
No.
Oh, I want to know which one it is. All right.
So do I.
Let's go to a regular caller to afternoons. Stefano from Greenwood, how are you going?
Yeah, well, thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Listen, ladies, I've got a plum tree. I think last year or perhaps the year before, it was getting too high, so I snipped the top off so that I could still access the plums.
Yeah.
Now, one of the more lateral, it was growing up at around 45 degrees.
Yeah.
Now that it's got plums on it, hanging down, and it's in danger of either snapping. Or touching the ground.
So
I support it and then wait till the fruit's done and then cut it off the...
Yes. Now, what everyone does in the whole world, apart from here in Australia, is they make prop sticks for their fruit trees. So when fruit trees, things like pomegranates, the way the branch is right down, same with grapefruit, you can get their U-shaped elbows on a spike, you stick it, you either cable tie it to a post, a picket, whatever, and you prop it until you crop it. Prop it until you crop it and then you cut it.
Right.
Prop. Yep. Prop, crop, cut.
Yeah, it might leave me with a pretty deficient tree next year, but I'll see how I go.
Yeah, and the other thing you can do, of course, is thin out the fruit, but none of us want to do that because you've taken so much time to actually get the fruit, you don't want to prune the fruit off.
Yeah, there's not much on there either.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so, just make a prop stick.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Very good. Now, on the text line, it's interesting. Please help with my Kunzea baxteri, no flowers, over 7 years old.
The Kunzea baxteri really doesn't like sandy soil. It needs a heavier soil. And it needs to dry right out. So people that put it in a garden where it gets reticked twice a week, you usually don't get flower.
That's why I've been waiting too. I've got a pink one and it's been...
You just got to let them go dry.
Right.
Yep.
Oh, there you go. That's awesome. And we've got some calls coming in and you've only got about 5 minutes to go. Sandy, what plant is this? Let me see if I can drag up the photo for you.
While you're dragging that up,
here we go, this one.
Mary and Myrie, she was saying she heard a popping noise in the garden in 42-degree heat and it was a Hardenbergia that the seed pods explode and they just, so they fire the seeds out, which is why Hardenbergias can be a weed in some areas.
Really?
Yeah. And they do. You can actually hear them pop.
Whoa. I didn't know that.
Well heard. Yeah. Well heard.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a nana plant. It's got a pink flower.
Yep.
And I saw that the other day and I remembered its name and now I forgotten. Oh. So it's a pink succulenty furry leaf. Someone out there will know. Yeah. It's a nana plant. It's a bulb. It has a spiky pink flower on it. And all our grandmas used to have them in the garden.
Oh, okay. There you go, people. It's a quiz now. 0437 922 720. Let's go to Val from Bunbury in the meantime, see if we can get both done. Val, what's happening with your magnolia?
It starts with a V.
Oh, starts with a V?
It starts with a V.
All right.
Yeah.
I think I know the name.
What is it, Anne?
Val. Yes, I've got those in my garden, but I can't tell you the name.
Oh, no.
It definitely starts with a V. Okay. Someone has to know it. It's got a pink flower.
With V.
Bulb. Soft, furry leaf. Anyway, what can we do for you, Val?
Well, I planted a beautiful Sansquia magnolia.
Oh, Sasanqua, yeah.
A beautiful pink one.
Yeah.
So... look, she grew nice. Yeah. I'm in Donnybrook, actually.
Yeah.
And she grew beautiful for the first year, then she died. But each year she shoots up little suckers and looks like she's going to grow.
Really?
And then she dies off again.
So is it a Sasanqua camellia or is it a magnolia?
Magnolia.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So you'll never get a good shape out of it. And I would say that it's a hybridized one, so you don't really know what's popping up there. I personally wouldn't think it's worthwhile persevering with.
Yes. Sad.
Yeah, I know. But in all honesty, I wouldn't bother. I'd just dig it out.
In Bunbury, is there a magnolia that would grow well into a tree or?
You definitely don't get the deciduous magnolias. They don't do very well in Bunbury. But things like the magnolia little gem, most of the evergreen magnolias will do well. But the new modern, so the Sasanqua one is the deciduous one, and they just don't like our soil type or our hot summer temperatures. So go for the evergreen magnolias. They're much tougher.
I've got the teddy bears and I've got the port wines and they grow.
Yeah, they'll do really, really well. Yep.
Well, that's sad news.
I know. I'm so sorry.
We've had a bit of heartbreak this morning.
There's so much that we would love to be able to grow here, but it is the wrong climate.
Yeah, that's true. And it's not very forgiving. Yep. Thank you for the call, Val. I reckon we can fit one more in. We've got Anne in Bunbury. There she is. We found her. Hello, Anne.
Hello, Anne.
Hello, Sabrina, and Happy New Year to you, lovely lady.
Thank you.
Now, I've got... I can't pronounce it that well. Radimachira.
Oh, Radimachira, yep.
Now, I transplanted it probably a good 6+ months ago.
Yeah.
Chopped the top off it.
Yep.
I've subsequently chopped a bit more because it kept dying back. It's still dying back. It hasn't got a green leaf on it.
Oh.
And it looks like it's dying on me. It's the tops of the one main stem is sort of quite, not dark, but the one stem that's still slightly green, very pale.
Okay.
Like it's not getting any food at all.
Okay. All right. So I want you to stop chopping, go and get a bag of compost, get some trace elements, get the foliar trace elements, spray it, or get the granular ones, compost on top, wetting agent, lots and lots of water. They're a tropical plant, and it should actually come good. It's got a trace element deficiency.
All right. Mm. Oh, it's nearly the end. What's flowering in your garden at the moment?
Oh, my goodness. I've got so many grevilleas in flower.
Ooh, which is your favourite?
City Lights.
Oh, I love City Lights, orange one.
It's going off like a frog in a sock at the moment.
I got my Rottnest Daisy to flower. I just put it in as tube stock.
Wow.
And I thought that was good, but I'd love to get one of those.
And my Eucalyptus sinandra have about 50 billion little birds, little honey eaters coming in for the nectar.
Oh.
So it's flowering beautifully.
It's fun when you see the parents take the birds out for a feed and a fly.
I know.
Yeah,
so the sinandra is looking stunning at the moment.
Very nice. Well, thank you for all of the calls and the text, Sabby. So good to see you.
I know. It was wonderful, Steens. We've had so much fun.
We have indeed. It is time for the news. Have a great weekend. It is 10 o'clock.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.